My name is Dr. Jessica Nelson, and I am the Head of Collections Expertise and Engagement at the National Archives.
Lovely. So we're here today to talk about witch hunts and hidden truths, because this is the talk that's coming to the National Archives. And it's coming at the right time of year, isn't it? I guess this is why you've done it, because we're coming up to Halloween.
Absolutely. Halloween is, of course, a time when people's thoughts are turning to witchcraft and all things spooky. So it seemed like a really good opportunity to kind of dig into the records that we've got around witch hunts and witch beliefs and try and uncover some of the evidence that's behind the myths and really be able to kind of dig into our documents and see what they're saying about witches and what was going on in the early modern period when witch hunting was really at its peak in this country, but actually see if we can kind of get to the truth behind the stories.
Why were witches considered so terrible?
That's a really good question. And we see kind of an ebb and flow in the way that witches are treated and the way that witchcraft is kind of viewed over time.
The only reason I ask is because a lot of the stuff that I've read, it would be considered homeopathy today rather than something that then was considered so awful.
I think it depends on the case. So lots of people were indeed practicing what we might consider homeopathy, you know, kind of folk remedies using plants and the things that were around them to try and cure. But really, when people were being accused of witchcraft in the criminal courts, it's because they feel that they've used their powers for ill. So if people are using plants and potions and herbs and things for healing, they generally stayed out of the courts. That was generally kind of not considered really a problem. But it's when people are accused of using those powers to harm cattle, for example, or to harm people, and that's when it becomes a problem, and that's when things come to court.
But it's really interesting that there's that differentiation between people who were using certain things to help and others who were doing it in a malicious kind of way. You said your records start there. What do your records contain?
What we have a lot of is the records of the criminal courts, because in the early modern period, so that's kind of the Tudors and the Stuarts, witchcraft became a criminal offence rather than a kind of offence that was dealt with in the church court. So it's an offence against the common law. So it's being prosecuted in the kind of the ordinary law courts, usually the assize courts, which were the forerunners of the crown courts today. And so what we have is records often from those courts, and then some records of people commentating on court proceedings. And we can really get as close as is possible to get to the voices of the people who were involved in those cases. Both the people who were accused, usually women, and the people who were accusing them, often members of their community. And also, which is really interesting, we also can hear the voices of the people who were often defending them, so other members of the community. So it really kind of illuminates the community tensions, and we can get as close as possible to really hearing the voices. And they're often poor people, they're down at the bottom of the social scale. So it's really interesting to be able to kind of dig into what they thought and the way they were expressing themselves. And of course, all of this to some extent is mediated by the courts. People aren't writing out their own statements. Their words are being written down by somebody else. But nonetheless, this really is as close as possible as we can get to what people actually thought about witchcraft and why they thought their neighbours were practising witchcraft, or, as I say, why potentially they were defending their neighbours against these accusations.
And if we look at one period in particular, for example, the Tudor period, do we know how many people were sentenced to death for witchcraft?
We don't. And that's because the survival of the court records is quite patchy. So we can make some very rough estimates based on the surviving evidence, but we can't say it for sure because the evidence just doesn't survive comprehensively. So from the evidence that does survive, the number of people who were hanged for witchcraft, because as I said, this was a common law offence. So the sentence was hanging rather than burning. We're probably talking about the kind of the mid hundreds in England and Wales. So certainly a lot of people, but not the kind of thousands and thousands of people that there might be a kind of popular perception. And it's also really interesting to note, and this is something that I'll kind of dig into a little bit in the talk next Friday, that actually a lot of people were acquitted of witchcraft. A lot of the people who were considered witches were ordinary people, usually women, tending to be kind of lower down the social scale, often elderly, but not always. We get some young women being accused. And of course, now we think about pointy hats and broomsticks and, you know, standing around the cauldron. But that's why I'm really excited to be giving this talk next Friday to, you know, kind of really dig into the evidence and dig into the truth behind all of that.
When did those versions of witches come about? Like you said, we think of a witch with a pointy hat, a long nose, a broomstick. When did that start to appear?
That's a very good question, and one that I'm not particularly equipped to answer comprehensively. I mean, I think those sorts of kind of tropes always existed. Certainly, you know, elderly women were often amongst the accused. And of course, elderly women in the early modern period would have worn hats, and they might quite possibly have carried broomsticks. And we certainly get evidence where people are attesting that that witches were kind of flying around and those sorts of things. I guess it's probably in the kind of the Victorian period, and then in the 20th century, we get some of those kind of stereotypical depictions of witches on broomsticks and with the pointy hats kind of hardening up in popular culture.
If people want to come to the event, but how can they sign up and get tickets?
The talk is online. It's next Friday on Halloween, the 31st of October, between 2 and 3 o'clock. People can register on our website, so that's nationalarchives.gov.uk. There's currently a flash on the homepage with a direct link for people to book onto that. Free to book. And then if people want to listen to it, but they're not free between 2 and 3 o'clock next Friday, they can register, and then they'll be sent a link on catch up, so they can watch it on catch up at a later date.
And that's what I will be doing, because I will be on air next Friday, but I will definitely be doing that. So thank you so much.